Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow. Look at this place. Does this book give us a history of Attila the Hun?
Okay, show me where it goes.
Now all we need to do is find it.
We're going to hell.
We're going to hell?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. What's that? Whoa.
Whoa.
That actually looks like it opens up into a room.
Holy.
Some bones were found.
Bones?
There.
Oh, look at that. That is awesome. Look at that.
Attila the Hun. The Romans called him the Scourge of God, and even today, his name is synonymous with terror. In the 5th century, Attila and his Hun army conquer more than 200,000 miles, prime European and Asian real estate, through brutal attacks. Legend has it that Attila is not buried in one coffin, but three, nested inside each other and forged of gold, silver, and iron. Together, they form a priceless treasure and a maddening mystery, since the location of the burial has been lost for 1,500 years. But now, a recent analysis of a medieval manuscript may be revealing its true location in a long-lost city. And an ambitious archaeologist has begun a project to find Attila's tomb at the bottom of the Danube River. The lost burial of one of history's most infamous rulers may soon be at hand. I'm going to join rival teams that are hot on the trail, racing to find a grave of astonishing significance and a treasure of unimaginable value. My name is Josh Gates.
Look at that!
With a degree in archaeology and a passion for exploration, I have a tendency to end up in some very strange situations.
This is horrible. This is officially horrible.
My travels have taken me to the ends of the earth.
Come on, back up.
As I investigate the greatest legends in history.
We're good to fly, let's go.
This is Expedition Unknown. My expedition begins here, on the Danube River in the nation of Hungary. Just a few minutes outside of Budapest, and you'd hardly know that we were in modern-day Europe. This could be the Yangtze River in China. This could be the Amazon. This is largely the view as it would have been 1,500 years ago. Back then, this was the hinterland of the Roman Empire, a wild and dangerous frontier, and that made it the perfect playground for a marauding group of warriors known as the Huns. Back then, Rome controlled most of Western Europe, parts of Asia, and northern Africa. But then, in the late 300s, the Huns charged in from eastern Mongolia. But it wasn't until Attila rose to leadership in 434 that they went from a disorganized gang into continental conquerors. Once on the throne, he began expanding the vast Hun Empire, which took over northern Europe and huge sections of Asia. But how did they pull it off?
To really understand the man behind the myth, I'm headed upriver to meet an expert who can give me some insight into what made Attila such a terrifying and terrifyingly effective leader.
I disembark in the town of Estergom and make my way to the nearby Falcon Valley Archery Academy. I'm here to meet with Dr. Hedan Chaba, one of Europe's top historians on all things Attila, even the outfits. Just to be clear, I didn't ask him to dress like this. He's just super into it.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You look incredible. You're the man I need to talk to, obviously, because I need some context for Attila. Attila the Hun is, I think, a name that most people in the West know, but a lot of people, I think, probably don't know much about the man. What kind of man was he?
He was charismatic, but also he was very terrifying.
Yeah.
Because I think every great ruler is.
While the Huns possessed a reputation for savagery, Attila was unusually tolerant for his day, seeing an advantage in allowing the conquered to keep their cultures and even religions. But as Hedan is about to show me, the Huns' true edge was military.
Oh my God.
Look at that speed. Look at that power. This is how they conquered Europe and part of Asia.
The Huns were expert mounted archers, and they used a type of composite bow that delivered lethal power. Today, the riders at this academy continue to train using Hun military techniques, and having seen their skills, I try to stay on their good side.
Hello.
Hello.
Incredible, guys. Incredible. You guys are awesome. That was really sensational.
For us, it is in the blood.
Yes.
Get that? Gyere, és próbáld ki.
Do you want to try?
I'll try. Everybody get behind something.
To prepare for my debut as a Hun warrior, I'm attended to by several Hun apprentices.
This guy can get used to this.
Focus on all target. You have to focus on the horse, your bow, the target you were shooting, everything in one time.
All right.
So after exactly 4 minutes of mostly verbal training, it's time to discover if I have what it takes to take out the Roman Empire.
Be the bow. Be the bow.
Spoiler alert, I don't.
Okay, here we go.
My first approach at the target, and I can't even get a shot off. Strike one. Strike two. Turns out shooting an arrow from a moving horse isn't as hard as it looks. It's way harder. And strike three.
It's so hard! Okay. I got it.
Okay, Josh, focus. Let's give this thing one more try. Finally, I managed to actually fire an arrow. And by my last time around, I'm starting to feel like a Hun. All right, a junior Hun.
Okay, so, how did I do?
You missed his head twice.
Uh-huh.
You hit the shield three times?
After multiple attempts, I wasn't able to kill that Roman soldier. But I did make him a soprano.
At the very least, he's having a terrible night.
With a better understanding of what made the Huns so effective, it's time to part ways with my trusty steed. To get to my next location, I pick up a local four-wheel drive vehicle, by which I mean this thing has four wheels and I can technically drive it.
I can't believe it started. This is a Soviet-made UAZ 469 light utility vehicle. It comes with all the amenities you might expect, including way too many shifter knobs, an abundance of buttons and switches that seem to do nothing. And what else? A full Cold War-era spy listening station. You know, just in case you want to tap a few phone calls.
Since I'm not looking for trouble with the CIA, I return to my hunt for one of the world's greatest lost treasures.
When it comes to the location of Attila the Hun's tomb, there is one legend that rises above all the rest, and that's that Attila isn't actually buried in the ground at all.
but that he's buried underwater. The story goes that after his death, a river was painstakingly diverted. His casket was placed in the ground, and then the water was allowed to flow back over him. If that story's true, it's no wonder that his tomb has been so difficult to find. But there is one man who believes he may be able to change all that. He's Hungary's premier underwater archaeologist, a man whose name also happens to be Attila. Attila János Toth. To reach him, I drive 30 miles south of Esztergom to the city of Rákové, and I find him where you'd expect to find any good maritime archaeologist, near the water.
Hello.
I'm Josh.
I'm Attila. Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, too. Has a lot of underwater archaeology been done in the Danube or no?
Unfortunately, not too much. So it means that the rivers are full of material.
And maybe the tomb of Attila the Hun?
Yes, we have a possibility. I would be glad to find it.
Yeah, exactly.
If I were bury Attila in a river, I would choose a place close to an island.
Damming a river is no easy feat today, and we have the Army Corps of Engineers. The Huns had logs and rocks. The Danube is a wide river, and damming the entire thing would have been all but impossible. Experts believe the Huns would have chosen a section with an island near the shore, which would have allowed them to dam a smaller span, and then bury the body before re-releasing the water. And where are you searching now?
We have a very, 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 very promising area. Here in the neighborhood, we have four small islands never explored before, and we expect some discoveries there.
Anxious to explore these promising areas, we grab our gear and walk down to the banks of the Danube, where the doctor has a small boat waiting to begin the search.
Okay, we're off.
We motor toward Attila's target zone, islands, where he thinks the Huns dammed a section of the mighty Danube.
Give me kind of a lay of the land out here.
This is the Great Hungarian Plain.
Right.
Attila's land.
Right.
The other side, it is the Roman Empire. Uh-huh. So we are between Attila's land and the Roman Empire.
Wow. So how do you search that much river?
Well, you need time and technology. And this is what we have, a side-scan sonar.
Side-scan sonar works by dragging a sensor behind us as we cover the area. The sensor will send sonar pulses to the riverbed and receive real-time topography of the bottom of the Danube.
Look.
Kind of squared off.
Lot of things.
A lot of things right there. Wow.
Yes, but this could be just maybe a fish.
Right.
The sonar is already picking up lots of small debris on the bottom. But having used this type of technology before, I don't expect to get a promising hit anytime soon. Turns out, I'm dead wrong.
Look, oh, it's...
What's that?
It's big.
I'm in the middle of the Danube River in Hungary, along with a maritime archaeologist. Using side-scan sonar, we're searching for signs of the casket of Attila the Hun, which is said to be crafted in layers of solid gold, silver, and iron. And we just got a hit.
Look, oh, it's...
What's that?
It's big. It's a wreck.
It's a wreck?
Yes.
That's a wreck. That's a shipwreck.
Yes. Not a big ship, but...
But a ship. Come
it's,
on!
10 meters long.
And you have it on GPS, so we know where it is.
Yes, 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 yes.
This is why I love sonar. On land, archaeology, digging in a trench with a toothbrush.
Yes.
Sonar... You just fly over it, and it doesn't lie. That's astounding. So in terms of Attila, though, what would we be looking for?
The tomb of Attila and the dam downstream of the island.
Yeah.
These are artificial objects, huge, big earthwork.
Right.
And on the sonar, you could see first the dam, which they built. Even if it destroyed, some evidence for the dam is existing, and you can see with the sonar. Like
right.
After the tomb, which is a big rectangle with very strong reflection. This is the coffin.
Yeah.
We log the location of the boat and continue our scan. For the next several hours, we go up and down the banks looking for additional clues. And finally, the sonar senses something sizable beneath us.
Oh.
What's that?
Oh, look at this.
What is that?
Boxes. Very big.
Whoa, what is that?
It's a large and rectangular object, 1 meter long. Oh, look at here.
And more.
More. One, two, three, four.
That's crazy. What is that?
Well, there is only one thing to do.
Dive.
Yes.
Let's get in the water.
We plunge into the frigid Danube and head down to the rectangular-shaped object spotted by the sonar.
Visibility is almost nothing.
The muddy bottom of the Danube is really churning, so our eyes are useless. We decide to employ the low-tech method of swatting randomly with our arms, which turns out to be surprisingly effective.
I'm on top of the object. I can feel it, but I can't tell what it is.
The object is way too heavy to carry, so we attach an inflatable lift bag to pull it off the riverbed. Then, we use the rope to drag the object over to a dock on the nearby island, where we can pull it ashore.
Holy! Okay, careful, don't get under it. Oh my god, it is huge. Definitely metal. Filled with mud. I don't know if it's filled with anything else, but look, this looks modern up here, yeah?
Yeah. It could be even Second World War.
That's what I was thinking, yeah?
We're looking for a metallic coffin, but this box, while intriguing, just isn't from the right time period.
This is World War II, yeah?
It looks like.
Though it's not Attila's tomb, this container is a piece of history. This section of the Danube saw brutal fighting between German and Allied forces in World War II. We've likely just dredged up a remnant of the Nazi presence here in Hungary.
Not the tomb of Attila the Hun, but a piece of history nonetheless.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Since we don't have a Hun-sized army to pull the chest all the way out...
Back down. Into the dark.
We let it sink back into the depths, where the golden tomb may also be lying in wait. Dr. Toth will be back to scan the Danube on another day. But after my time on the river, I realized that if the Huns did want to keep the grave a secret by burying Attila underwater, then it's a plan that's working. But not everyone believes he's in the water. The next morning, I push my Soviet rust heap the 30 miles to Budapest. I'm here to look at some research that suggests Attila was buried on land, and to take in the sights of one of Europe's most beautiful cities.
I first came here in the 90s. Communism had collapsed, the economy was in ruins, and if I'm being honest, the whole city felt as though it was cloaked in a depressing shade of gray. But what a difference a few decades makes, because color has returned to Budapest. And on the streets, you can feel an electric energy, a new generation that is returning this city to its rightful place as one of Europe's coolest capitals. In short, Budapest is back.
As I head to my meeting, I make sure to stroll through Memento Park, a repository of all the statues from the country's communist era. All your favorites are here. Lenin, and of course Joseph Stalin, or at least his boots. The only intact remains of an 85-foot likeness that was torn down in the failed 1956 uprising. The love of statuary seems to be a Hungarian obsession. Around Budapest are other statues.
Sorry, I don't mean to bother you. Thanks.
Peter Falk in costume as Columbo. Ronald Reagan in costume as a president.
Perfect. You were great.
And a statue of one of the most important writers in the country's storied past, Anonymous. No, it's not a joke. It's actually a specific Anonymous writer who penned the oldest and most significant book in Hungarian history, the Gesta Hungarorum. It's the definitive chronicle of the origins of the Hungarian people, and it may contain an important clue in the hunt for Attila the Hun. The original 800-year-old manuscript is kept in Budapest Grand Central Library, where I'm meeting with Dr. Borbála Ábrusanszky. She's going to give me an exclusive look at this priceless medieval manuscript in a special humidity-controlled chamber.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, does this book give us a history of Attila the Hun?
No. It's a history of King Árpád.
King Árpád. And Árpád is later than Attila, yes?
Yes, later. He's grandson.
King Árpád, who ruled about 450 years after Attila, is considered the first king of Hungary as we know it. Árpád was obsessed with Attila and leveraged his name and lineage for his own political power.
How does this history of Árpád help us to find Attila the Hun's tomb?
if we find the tomb of King Arpad, we can find the tomb of Attila.
The Gesta Hungarorum describes King Arpad as discovering the capital city of Attila the Hun, a place known as Sicambria. The manuscript says that Arpad wanted to be buried next to Attila, so upon his death, Arpad was interred in Sicambria. Unfortunately, the city has once again been lost to history and remains so to this day.
Wow. Well, that's an amazing start. It certainly gives us a lot to go on. Now all we need to do is find it.
Yes, again.
So according to the Gesta, the lost city of Sicambria contains not one, but two royal tombs. King Arpad of Hungary and the glittering sarcophagi of Attila the Hun. Find Sicambria, and we find Attila.
So the many clues laid out in the Gesta Hungarorum and other historic sources are really compelling, but they don't exactly give a clear picture of where to look for Attila's tomb. But there is one professor here in Hungary who believes that he's close to piecing it all together.
I'm headed to meet with a professor who's been leading the charge on deciphering the location of Sicambria. I find him and his assistant waiting for me at a local airfield.
Miriam, nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, Professor. I understand you've got a hot lead on Sicambria.
I know where it is.
You know where it is?
I can show you.
You can?
Absolutely. We will fly by this helicopter. We will take an air tour to Sicambria.
I like your confidence.
He's sure about
it. He's very confident.
He is. He knows his stuff. He's been researching this for the last 16 years, so he's absolutely confident.
I like this guy.
Okay.
Are you coming with?
No, I'm staying.
You're staying down here?
Yeah, I'm staying down here.
Well, we'll be back.
All right, guys.
Dr. Lansky believes that Sicambria is just a short helicopter ride away.
Okay, let's fly. Sounds good. Let's do it.
Which means that if he's correct, by tonight, I could be face to face with Attila the Hun.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My search for the golden tomb of Attila the Hun has brought me to the skies over Hungary. I get a bird's eye view of what this professor claims is Sicambria, Attila's lost capital, and the site of his missing burial.
You looked at all of these old maps and manuscripts and documents. How did you make sense of all of that?
Old manuscripts referred to King Arpad, who ruled 400 years after Attila. They say his troops crossed the Danube, and in the mountains, they arrived at Attila's old capital of Sicambria. That's near where we are right now. and we believe that's where Attila is buried.
The professor has also discovered a 16th century map that lists the city of Sicambria by name, which most maps of the area do not.
You can see on this map, here's the Danube, this area is the mountains, and here is Sicambria.
That's it. That's it.
That's it, absolutely.
That's Sicambria.
This is Sicambria, from the Danube.
To confirm the accuracy of his theory, he's gone one step further. He's conducted thermal scans of the entire area from above.
How do you know where in the mountains? It's still a big area.
The old documents tell us Attila was buried near a natural spring. This infrared map of the area indicates an old spring here. Also, the outline of this area lines up with this shape of the original castle.
So, do you think Attila is down there too?
I think yes.
The professor's confidence is infectious, but from the air, I can't even see the ground below the forest, let alone a lost capital.
I want to see what's underneath the trees. Can you show me on the ground?
Yes, I can.
You can?
I can.
Well, let's get on the ground then.
We bring the helicopter in for a landing and set off into the woods on foot. I'm beyond anxious to get a closer look at what could be a lost city and the tomb of Attila the Hun.
So this is Sicambria.
Yeah, this part of Sicambria. This is the castle of Sicambria.
We consult several maps and a historic document which the professor has uncovered, and they all appear to be depicting the same structures.
I see, and so it does line up shape-wise.
It does line up shape-wise.
Yeah, with that outer courtyard. Wow, that's interesting.
Considering this may be the site of an ancient city, we've got a lot of ground to cover. Dr. Lansky takes us to what he believes was once the outer wall of Attila's castle.
Oh, wow, look at that. Yeah, it's perfectly squared off, yeah? So we have these really rectangular pieces that do certainly look cut. I mean, they look like, you know, this doesn't look natural.
No, definitely.
This is the outer wall, you think, of Sicambria?
Yes.
The doctor believes the reason there aren't more ruins here is that in the 16th century, townspeople reused all of Sicambria's stones. As we wander the site, I have to admit there are bits of stone here that look decidedly man-made. We see what he believes is part of a fortification wall and the remains of what was once a soaring minaret tower. Finally, we arrive at a massive rock wall where Professor Lansky is convinced Attila is entombed.
So this is dramatic here. You think this is the spot, this is the burial area.
We're sure
that this is the resting place of Arpad. And if it's Arpad's resting place, then Attila has to be here too. There must be a chamber, an empty space behind there.
So the question is, how can you prove that? How do we know that there's something back there? Can you dig it out?
Come on, he'll show you.
Lansky leads me up to the top of the hill, where he's already begun an unusual excavation. With the state's permission, he's bored 5 holes into the hillside with a well-drilling rig. Now, using a state-of-the-art snake camera, we're going to get our first look at the inside of the hill, and possibly the tomb of Attila the Hun.
Okay, sending it down.
What was that?
You see that? It widens out, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The further down we send the camera, the wider the passages become.
Keeps going. Actually, it is getting bigger.
It's getting really bigger.
Until something catches my eye that makes me look twice.
Hold on. What's that? Look there.
That's the chamber.
That actually looks like it opens up into a room. Then what?
Finding a chamber suggests that we might be looking in the right place. But we've got a few more feet of line to go.
Whoa!
Whoa!
In Hungary's Pilis Mountains, I'm helping an archaeological team peer into this hillside in search of the lost tomb of Attila the Hun.
That actually looks like it opens up into a room. Then what?
Whoa!
There. What is that?
Okay.
It looks structural. There actually is a chamber in here.
After dozens of feet of indistinct tunnels, the rock in this chamber appears to be carved. There are straight edges and corners that are compelling, to say the least.
The question is, are these hollow spaces natural, or do you think somewhere down here there's a tomb?
It's not natural, it's artificial. Could you keep your
mouth closed?
Keep my mouth shut about this?
Shut up.
Yeah, it's just the three of us. Okay. Nobody else will know.
Chronicles are true. The history is true. This is Sicumbria.
This is it.
This is it.
This is the necropolis.
This is a necropolis.
No, necropolis.
Professor Lansky clearly doesn't have any doubts, but I remain unsure. The underground spaces here could be man-made, but he has a long way to go before his theory that this was a city, let alone Sicambria, can be verified.
Hopefully somewhere around here is Attila. When you find him, you call me, yeah?
I will do.
I appreciate it.
I climb back into my Soviet heap, and I head out to meet one final seeker of Attila. Like Dr. Lansky, this prominent researcher is conducting an active dig for the tomb here in the Pilish Mountains. But unlike the professor, he lives behind a big iron gate. The gates open, and I find myself approaching the Hungarian version of Wayne Manor. I just hope this guy doesn't have any guard dogs.
Come in! Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Meet Leventi Serenyi. You may not know who he is. I may not know who he is. But if you're Hungarian, you definitely know who he is. Part of a Beatles-style rock band in the 60s and a solo sensation in the 70s, he's been described as the John Lennon of Hungary, if John Lennon had written a rock opera about Attila the Hun. Like most archaeologists, he gives me a quick tour of his mansion's rock memorabilia collection.
Guitar.
Who's this guy?
It's a big concert.
You look good. You look good here. You clean up well.
We still haven't exchanged a single word on Attila the Hun, and Levente is insisting on showing me his wine cellar, where he makes every Hungarian's favorite drink, a deadly fruit-flavored brandy known as palinka.
Okay. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh! That's So that's pure... 50% what?
Alcohol.
That's 100% alcohol. That is racing fuel.
Only one shot of palinka, and I get a command performance of one of his greatest hits.
Woohoo! Joie la tête, voilà mi corps. Rock and roll, nil culé.
No.
I love it. Amazing. How does a guy who's, you know, Hungary's biggest rock and roller write an opera about Attila the Hun? How does that happen? Where did the interest come from?
My father was an archaeologist who spent years looking in the mountains here for ruins of the Romans, of King Arpad and Attila. For years I wanted to be like him, but he didn't want me to follow in his footsteps. So I went into music.
This is like the reverse of how this is supposed to happen. Like usually kids say they want to be a rock star, and their parents tell them to become a doctor or an archaeologist. You went the other way.
Rock and roll grabbed me.
Right, right, exactly, of course. So in the opera, how is Attila portrayed?
He was a monolith, man of great strength. You know how great he was, because people are still debating his role and character 1,800 years later.
So in terms of his burial, where do you think that Attila was buried?
Historic sources indicate the tomb of Attila must be somewhere here in the Pilish Mountains near the burial of King Arpad.
You haven't just written an opera about Attila. You're actually doing excavations, correct?
Yeah.
So in terms of the excavation, what have you guys been doing up there?
I've been devoted to the search for almost 2 decades, and I believe we're on the verge of a major find. Do you want to see it?
I would love that. That would be amazing. Yeah. You can show it to me. Yeah, for sure. Let's go. Please.
Since my rental car is almost as dead as Brezhnev, I let Levente drive his 4x4 into the mountains, which might be a mistake.
We are going to hell.
We're going to hell?
Yeah.
Okay.
And here we are.
Look at this. People, tents. Wow.
Okay.
Eventually, we pull up at the dig site, and I meet Levente's team, including Tomas, the lead archaeologist.
Nice to meet you, Tomas. How are you?
And Dome.
Nice to meet you. Josh, my name is Dome.
An independent researcher who looks like the librarian at Studio 54.
Wow, look at this place. This is amazing. It's like a little town here.
Yes, it's base camp.
Base camp. I like the pipe, too.
Yeah.
It's a nice touch. You don't see a lot of pipe smoking anymore. How far is the site from here?
It's not too far. It's like 15 minutes walk.
Lead on.
While Levente and Tomas go ahead to the dig site, Dome wants me to see their most recent discovery. So we hike up to a nearby ridge.
Josh, are you afraid of heights?
Am I afraid of heights?
Yeah.
No, not really.
That's fine. Good.
I follow a rope line that's been strung up the side of this steep hill. To where, I have no idea.
Watch your step. From here, it's really dangerous.
If you wanted to kill an American television host somewhere in Hungary and be sure to get away with it, this is your place.
So,
I see climbing gear.
Yeah, this is it.
Further up?
No, down there.
Down where?
You can hardly see it from here. You have to climb there.
Okay.
There's an entrance there.
An entrance?
Yeah, an entrance.
Entrance to what?
Oh, we're going to find out.
Okay, cool. All right, let's do it.
We don caving gear and prepare to rappel down to see something that Zerenyi and his team recently discovered.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Then, shall we go?
Let's go.
And not for the first time, I find myself in a literal cliffhanger.
Okay, I'm coming down. It's starting to get wet.
I'm in the Pillage Mountains of Hungary, rappelling with the protege of an obsessed rock star in search of the tomb of Attila the Hun. As we get further down the cliff, I notice that we're approaching the top of a dark and narrow chamber.
Whew, man, it just keeps going.
A few more inches and you're done.
Okay. Whew. Wow. That's crazy. That is crazy. Okay. Nice work.
Congratulations.
Okay. Show me where it goes.
Let's see.
We clamber into a larger chamber, and I'm immediately struck by signs of human activity here.
Wow.
This isn't a natural formation, not by a long shot.
All of this was definitely hand cut. You know,
right.
This was all chiseled out
Correct.
For sure. You can see, you know, pick marks, chisel marks everywhere you look.
Yeah, it's man-made.
Yeah. So what is this place? What do you guys think this is?
We think that originally it might have been a Roman mine.
The Romans controlled this area for 500 years, and it shouldn't come as a shock that they found this quarry. The rock is volcanic, relatively light, and perfect for construction use.
Is it just a Roman site, or was it used later?
Not actually. We're sure that it was reused for several times during history.
And why do you know that?
We have found a lot of ceramics.
Ceramics. And they date to when?
The ceramics date back both to Attila's age and Arpad's age.
Really?
As well.
That's really cool, because there is this school of thought that Arpad and Attila are buried near each other. So if you're finding stuff from both periods,
right.
That's a great sign.
Correct.
And where have most of those finds come from here?
Most of the findings came from the main pit we are working now.
And can we see what they're digging up there?
I will show you.
Yeah, for sure, please.
Let's go.
Yeah.
To get out of the mine, we crawl through a narrow tunnel.
Okay.
And then up a ladder into one of the coolest excavations I've ever seen.
Wow. Look at this place.
It's amazing.
You guys got a full-scale operation going up here. It's huge. I mean, it's so much bigger than I thought it was going to be.
It's like a movie set, a production designer's idea of the quintessential dig site. The rest of Levente's team is here, carefully extracting stone from the quarry to see what's hidden underneath.
Wow, look at it. From down here, you can really tell that it was quarried. I mean, you can clearly see where all the blocks were taken out. It's just
exactly.
All terraced, yeah?
You're right.
And look at how perfect those blocks are. Why do you think they left them here? Maybe that's from the very end of the use here. That's like
Absolutely.
When they abandoned
when
the site.
When they finished work here, yeah.
We walk deeper into the pit to observe the excavations in progress, which turn out to be brimming with discovery.
He says it's just found something and it's worth.
What's he got?
To have a look.
What do you got?
Oh, look at that. That is awesome. Look at that.
What?
It's metal, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tomasz, what is it?
It's a tool.
Like an axe.
Like an axe, yes.
Uh-huh. Or like a pick.
Yes, very
Rada.
Necessary.
And how old do you think that is?
It can be from 2nd till 5th century.
1,500 years old?
Yes.
How cool is that?
Yes.
This historic relic is a terrific find and could well be from the time of Attila the Hun.
To see those chisel marks in the cave, but then to see, this could be the tool that made those.
Absolutely.
It really connects you to it. You really get a sense that someone was here, somebody was using that tool. It's just such a powerful connection to the past. That's great.
We barely have time to bask in the discovery when the Hungarian John Lennon calls us over.
Tomasz, dobe, jönnek elő gyertek föl.
Na, akkor vindulok.
Some bones were found up
bones?
There. Yeah, some bones.
Beside. Where? Found bones.
In situ.
Where?
We race to the top of the quarry. If Zerenyi has found bones, could these be the remains of Attila himself?
Wow. So it looks like three bones?
Yes, yes, so three bones.
Uh-huh. And what do you think? You think animal?
Absolutely animal.
Animal?
Animal.
Not human?
No, no way.
So you think this could be from a sacrifice?
Could be.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so. Animal sacrifice is not so unusual, but this is an unusual place for it.
Do you think that along with the mining here, that there could be something more significant at this site?
Yes. Along with sacrificial offerings like this, the entire site was buried, perhaps intentionally hidden. This suggests the site could be more important than as just a mine. It took great effort to cover all of this. There must be a reason.
A sacrificial altar and a hidden site might mean this was a holy place. If so, it's possible that Arpad and Attila could be nearby.
Are you hopeful that the tomb of Arpad or the tomb of Attila could be somewhere in these hills?
Without a doubt. So far, this site has closely matched our archival evidence. Arpad or Attila may be right here, just under our feet.
You just need more time.
Maybe two years.
2 years, you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so a little more time, a lot more digging. Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
In the meantime, the rain is coming down. Should we go warm up with a little, what's it called?
Palinka.
Palinka.
Good idea.
Yeah?
Very good idea. Let's to Palinka.
To Palinka. Come on. Come on.
We call it a day and head off to drink to the new discoveries here, with the hopes that Attila could be next. Attila the Hun's tomb has yet to be found, and the mystery of its location persists exactly as he intended. But we should not expect it to remain this way forever. Dedicated explorers appear to be closing in on the solution to this historic puzzle. They are toiling away in the murkiness of the Danube River, which is yielding up prizes from another warlord's reign. They are cracking long-lost clues in historic manuscripts, and scouring the forest floor for whisperings of a vanished capital. And deep in a forgotten mine, an actual rock star is devoting his resources to unraveling the meaning behind mysterious offerings. Attila the Hun was the scourge of empires. His exploits are the stuff of legend. And he knew that the only way to maintain power in death was to disappear. But nothing and nobody can remain hidden forever.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big.